Everybody, welcome to the In and After Show. It's me, Lindsay Loveridge, and with me in the middle is James Beckett.
Yo, yo, yo.
And one over from James is, who is
me.
It? It's Jackie!
Why did you say Garchomp is better? Dustin? It should always be Gungrave Enthusiast, but I'll take the new title.
So. Maybe Garchomp did it.
He crawled down from the top of my camera and did it. So
he demands recognition.
I do have Garchomp up there. He's my ace, and he's gotten me through a tough time. So whenever I have to do anything on camera, he just gives me some renewed confidence. So you know what? Garchomp is better. It's official, everybody.
That actually, I've been meaning to ask Jackie, have you tried playing the Pokemon trading card game mobile
game? No.
Oh. Oh,
is it fun?
Yeah, I'm addicted to it.
Is it like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic, where you put your cards in attack and you have spells and traps and stuff like that?
Yeah, they have like a couple different expansions now. So there's lots of cards to collect. You can get rare cards and stuff, just like anything else. And then there's battling system where you can either battle against real people or against the computer to earn stuff that'll let you open more packs. And there's also, they just release trading, so now you can actually trade with friends. Ooh. Trade cards with friends.
So is this like the Pokemon card game we played when we were kids?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just on mobile. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like the Magic the Gathering app that they've got.
Yeah.
Similar idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just Pokemon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just Pokemon.
Really cool.
I just wanted to know if you'd played it because there's definitely Garchomp cards in there now. And,
oh my gosh.
And then you can actually create virtual binders on it. So you can put all your favorite Pokemon in a little virtual binder and then just have it so people can look at it and send you likes and stuff for your
life. Okay. Yeah, this is going to take up way too much time. Why would you introduce me to that, Lindsay? Why?
Because I already introduced my husband to it and now he's got so bad, actually. So we went on vacation a little bit ago, right? We just went into wine country and went to a wedding and we wanted to buy snacks for the room because we actually, usually when we're on vacation, we just spend a lot of time in the hotel room, like not doing anything.
Yeah.
And at the Safeway, they had a Pokemon Center kiosk to buy cards.
Like a machine kind of thing?
Yeah, a machine. And so we bought too many. These are my husband's. I have my own that is the same size. These are just cards that we got while we were on vacation. So we just spent vacation opening Pokemon card packs and sharing them and stuff because we're nerds. So,
oh my God.
You know what 90s thing that's coming back that I've been like tempted to get into?
What's that?
I kind of want to get a Beyblade.
Okay.
Is that back? I didn't know Beyblade was back.
Timothy Chalamet has a Beyblade and he brought it on the red carpet.
Yeah.
What?
I was at Target the other day and they had a whole wall of Beyblades. They had the launcher and they had all the different models you could get. And I never got to have Beyblades as a kid and I kind of want one.
Yeah,
this is crazy.
Old.
He was on the red carpet with a Beyblade.
Yeah. I was showing it off. I was like,
I wouldn't lie about Timmy Chalamet with a Beyblade.
How much did Bandai pay him for that, you know, like that product placement? But it was really funny when that happened because I don't know anything about Beyblade, but we've got some Beybladers in the ANN staff Discord, and shout out to Coop for looking at it and being like, yeah, that's this Beyblade, it like the specific model and whatnot. So
little tops, right? Like they would just spin around.
They're like battle tops.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a time to be alive. I always think like new kids, like, what do they play with? What do they do?
What are their pogs, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
Bring back pogs, yo.
Yeah. Does anybody do Skip It anymore? I was obsessed with my Skip It.
I don't think
Skip It. No, but I know the commercial. Like, I can, like,
picture. Yeah, Skip It. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then this one thing where you would pull, a string and a fairy would go flying up.
I had that. Arms.
What was that called?
25 says pogs are NFTs now. No.
You can't slam an NFT. You can't get a gold slammer and throw it really hard and flip your NFT.
Are NFTs even a thing anymore? Did those just completely die?
No.
They should.
Yeah.
They should. At least they stopped trying to. I guess they all moved on to trying to shill Gen AI.
Yeah, that's
true. Might be worse, honestly.
Jan also says that the fairy things we were talking about are called sky dancers. They even had a little cartoon.
I had dragon. I don't know if they're called dragon dancers, but I had the dragon ones.
Yeah, yeah. They made a boy version, and the only difference was like they were supposed to be more like dragonflies instead of fairies.
But they were basically like Power Rangers, and it was sick as hell. So
I think everyone has also probably seen that video where the one little girl like spins her sky dancer on Christmas and it flies into the fireplace. Or is that just me?
Oh, no. That sounds funny, though.
Yeah. I mean, probably it wasn't for her, but yeah.
Yeah. No, that's probably really upsetting at Christmas. But
Chris Francis, the screensaver, that is a feature. Usually I just turn the monitors off, but I've been wondering how long it would take for someone to say something about the obnoxious bubbles screensaver I have in the background. So.
Oh, there was a time once when I genuinely thought I was losing my mind. And then I think we even had this conversation. And I was like, what's going on back there?
Just screensaver.
It's saving that screen.
It's just normal. We didn't have a lot of news we were going to bring onto the show today. But one of the things I noticed is that the Anime Tourism Association, which they keep like a running list of the real locations in anime that you can go to, it's to help promote tourism in like different areas. They updated recently and they've got some new ones. Androius asks, who's the one from ANN who saw Gundam G Quux movie in Japan? I heard it's good. That was Richard Eisenbees. Mm-hmm. Jackie, what I was saying while you were working out your technical stuff is that I'm going back to Japan in March, and yay, I want to open the floor to everyone about if you could go to Japan, specifically the Tokyo area, because I'm not going to be traveling outside the Tokyo metropolis. What would you most want to see? Because I have a running list of stuff, of things to do, mostly to create write-ups and whatnot for ANN, but I'm also bringing my mommy, and my mommy is never been. Nice. So I'm dragging her everywhere.
That'll be fun.
People are still talking about my screensaver in the background.
Yeah, it's tripping me out.
It's just
very intense.
I'm so sorry. It's just bubbles, guys. It's just
aggressive.
It's aggressive. It's super fast. It's not like nice little bubbles floating in the background. It's like behind your head.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when I have been indulging in certain substances that may leave one's perception somewhat altered, and all of a sudden your brain can't quite tell if it's going too slow or the world is moving too fast.
Oh, okay.
It's a very anxiety-inducing experience.
They have
not your screensaver. The other.
They have some harder stuff over there in Colorado. Stuff in Washington.
We don't mess around.
We don't mess around.
We came to play.
A Wandering Dream says James has smoked weed. We all know, you guys. I feel like everyone knows a little too much about us at this point.
I mean, I live in Colorado. That's like an assumption at this point.
Well, I mean, all three of us live in states where that is legal if one chose to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't do anything. I'm like,
I'm drinking tea. I'm taking a Jackie today. Yeah. I'm drinking.
Ooh, that's hardcore, Lindsay. Now, is that decaffeinated tea, or are you drinking caffeinated tea?
You know what? I don't know, but tea is way less caffeine than coffee. I'm actually trying to wean off coffee a little bit.
Wow. My mom's tried to do that a couple times. She ends up with like bad headaches in the afternoon, but it's really good. Tough. Yeah, it's good.
It's like a physical addiction. It's definitely not okay. Yeah. But
my wife has just settled and accepted her addiction to coffee.
I think it's not okay, but it is. I mean, we all do it, you know. But if I go off of it, my energy levels are so whack, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm trying. It's my throat. I have a pretty raspy voice already, so when I don't drink coffee, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is how a normal person sounds, because they're not dehydrated all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, but
I'm always trying to drink more water. Yeah, good things to do in Japan. So some of the things that I'm considering now, you guys can sound off in the comments. There's a lot of interesting theme parks they have in Japan that they don't have in the US. Jackie went to a couple different ones when she was there. But one that neither of us did is called Fuji Q.
Fuji Q.
I guess it's supposed to be similar to a Six Flags style sort of thing, where, and they've got some like anime tie-in roller coasters and
so
stuff.
It's more like coaster focused than focused. Okay.
I think so. Yeah. I think they have an Attack on Titan ride and some other stuff.
Hell
there.
Yeah. That's such a perfect roller coaster. Like if you had like a big Titan in the middle,
yeah,
like coastering around, you know?
Yeah.
I You know, holding on to him for dear life to get scared.
Not to split us on a side combo here, but Universal Studios, they had that fan fest announcement.
And
everybody was like Star Trek and Dungeons and Dragons. And then they said anime and I was screaming like crazy, right?
Yeah.
I think they just think anime is, we'll throw in some anime. We'll see how anime does. And I think they're going to be shocked at how many people are going to go to those fan fest nights for anime. There was a lot of, I don't want to say like competitors, but other influencers. And they did not focus on anime as their angle. And we did. And our video took off. Yeah. And it's because anime fans are thrilled to see anime attractions here. You know what I mean? And then people are like, why isn't it going to be in Orlando and everything? You know, so it's, I think it's just really cool that it's, we're going to have some anime attractions.
Yeah, I think people realize how much anime blew up during the pandemic.
I agree.
Yeah.
As much as I don't necessarily want to give Demon Slayer more credit than it already has, that show really did create an entire like generation of little weebs. When I'm teaching in my high school, every kid has watched at least one or two anime that are currently airing. They all know, they know Demon Slayer, they know Jujutsu Kaisen, a lot of them know Chainsaw Man. Like, they just know these things.
I think they know One Piece too. I think One Piece is like not even, it used to be like Dragon Ball was the one that I felt like everybody knew. And I feel like One Piece is starting to become that, to be honest. So
yeah
I agree. Though.
There's going to be the live action.
My Hero Academia was there too.
Not to do my anime glasses push-up moment, but we did a video at ANN and it was crazy because North America globally brought in so much money for the anime industry, right, Lindsay? The article that we did. And so I was like, it's a global thing now. It's not just like, oh, this is a medium that's very popular in Japan and some people dabble in outside of Japan. It's like, no, it's like it's a global thing. It's huge. It's massive. And I think it's only going to grow.
And so the companies that are in charge of streaming these shows are definitely putting all their resources and all their money and all their attention into marketing them, right?
Well, like, that's like any company,
they would be really, really conscientious about getting the word out there, being consistent with it. Maybe so when they have a hit show that everyone's going to love, they're not just going to throw the marketing in the trash for no apparent reason.
Well, like, have you missed James's cynical...
Oh, with him saying that. Yeah, because it's crazy because that article we did was like, okay, it's anime accounts for a small percentage of what Netflix and I forgot the other, and like some of the other streamers, it's obviously not Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll's Hulu, anime,
maybe.
But it's like Hulu and some other ones. It's like a small percentage of their library, but it brings in so many views for them, right?
Yeah.
It was in the top 10 like the whole time it was airing.
Dude, I saw Sakamoto Days at number 3.
Yeah.
I
could not believe that was on number 3 for, because you know how they always have like Netflix, because Sakamoto Days is great, but it's definitely a little bit more, I don't know, it's like just
casual,
like,
viewing.
Yeah, comedic. It's not,
I think that's why, right? It's not,
it's not appointment viewing.
It's not super
But I feel like there's definitely been bigger ones on Netflix. But I don't know. Netflix is such a weird one because it's Beastars was huge during COVID. And then I felt like nobody was talking about the new season at all. Like, I thought it was a very good season. And I was just, I know, James, you and I are weird. We're the diehards, right? But it was like, I was like, is anybody else watching this? Because nobody's talking.
Because they didn't market it. Like, I talked to people. Yeah. They just didn't even know it was out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely, this is what I think too. I think that it's all about knowing your properties, right? They obviously know how to market Bridgerton and Squid Games. You know what I mean? Like, we see what they pull out for that stuff. I think that anime is a beast that they don't quite understand yet, which is unfortunate because it's amazing. But I think they just assume that
like the niche, and again, I say niche sarcastically because anime at this point is mainstream.
I totally agree. Yeah.
But I think they assume that like those fandom kind of gets basically are going to market themselves via word of mouth.
Oh, like we're just all going to talk about it on social media, so they don't have to.
I do think that they heavily rely on us. They like it. They like it, which is sucks because then amazing anime like Dorohedoro just like dies. Though it's getting a second season,
It's getting a second season. Yeah. I do want to circle back real quick because we were talking about FanFest at Universal and it took me a second because I realized the video is on our Instagram. So I wanted to show some of the stuff that's coming to Universal Studios Hollywood. Jackie was there. So let me just share this. And let me turn the audio on.
For Universal Fan Fest nights. Oh, look at me. When you walk into the park, you will be greeted with the world of One Piece. The Grand Pirate Gathering is an immersive and interactive experience with iconic visuals and a scenic environment, putting fans at the heart of the action with meet and greet opportunities with all of your favorite characters. That's right. You can meet Luffy and the Straw Hats while enjoying Devil Fruit Concha and Chopper Cupcakes with a character-inspired drink to boot. Nico Robin's tropical iced tea was so refreshing. All while wearing a chopper hat. And JJK fans, they're bringing their Universal Studios Japan film-based experience here to the States. I actually saw this in Japan, and it is an action-packed, visually stunning adventure featuring your favorites. Diehards are going to love it, and the merch, I need this Divine Dog now. Super Nintendo World will debut your favorite Yoshi as a brand new meet and greet character. And to celebrate, fans can
make a
scavenger hunt to locate all five colorful Yoshi eggs with a very special reward. They're also adding Yoshi merch and Yoshi-inspired cuisine. The best part is you can experience all of this
pasta. Okay.
That's right. All of these experiences.
That doesn't look like a dessert.
Back to the Future, Dungeons & Dragons, and Harry Potter. Which attraction are you most excited for? Let us know in the comments. And for more, go to AnimeNewsNetwork.com. One Piece and Jujutsu Kaisen.
That's the thing. When we went to the presser, they were like, Dungeons and Dragons, Star Trek, and like focus on all that. And I was like, y'all have no idea. Yeah. Like, you just brought two anime attractions. Like, people are going to lose it. And that's why I was like, my video, we focused on the anime attractions, right? And then we, at the end, you can see the Harry Potter, whatever. And I, and then it just blew up. Here to my friend.
Like we were just talking about, usually the only way to get any kind of anime interactive experience is to go to Japan. You have to go to where they actually have the theme parks and the cafes and the pop-up things.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you go to a big convention and even
like
then,
Anime like, Expo or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say, this reminds me of when you went to Universal Studios Japan and posted a video with life-size Gojo. Oh, no. And everybody like the TikTok asking. Comments were like X-rated. People were just
with that, with the life-size, the life-size Gardevoir plushie. Or the
I've heard of
the Pokemon.
Why are people like that's a Pokemon.
That's Lindsay,
come on.
It's not even banana. Like what? No. What are people doing?
No,
it's a humanoid Pokemon. It's gonna happen. That's it.
The life size Gojo was like 6'6" though. Like he was a big dude. Yeah. Like I was like sitting next to him and I was like,
was it like tug on your hair shirtless Gojo or was it?
No, he's just in the uniform.
Yeah,
and he's sitting there like this. And you're on the couch, but you can't sit that close to him. So you sit four lengths away from him. And then Gojo's in a chair. And he's right there. But they won't let me get closer to him than that. But I don't think it's coming to FanFest, which it's funny because a lot of people in the comments were like, dude. Well, because the One Piece characters will be walking around live action and stuff like that. And I was like, man, if they're
going to have like professional cosplayers, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People like, will be like, over Zoro probably,
the character actors at Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. I think is what they're going to do.
That's
so
cool though.
If you could like, give me
I think it's
five.
So cool. Yeah. You're going to have to take your kids though. Yeah. We talked about it, how expensive that is. So
yeah, it's probably more expensive now. Inflation has gone up quite a bit since the last time I was at Universal probably. Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion though, Lindsay? When you go to Tokyo, go to more maid cafes because I think that was the best. And I wish we got more. Like the one we went to was, I think, considered like one of the top tier ones.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
I was like, man, that would have been cool if we got some more of that maid cafe stuff. And I just love when they have attractions, like a bus stop turns into a Neon Genesis Evangelion theme, or
I remember
when I was outside of Tokyo, I think we wanted to go to a Pokemon and a Sailor Moon cafe and we weren't able to last time. So if you can do, I think those are so great.
Yeah.
But let me know what you guys think. Please tell us what you guys would like to have covered, because then Lindsay and her mom will get to experience these really cool things.
You guys to find a legitimately like a real Oinky Doink cafe.
Yeah.
Like a really weird, like underground made cafe where there's just like all characters. They're all obviously characters.
You know what I love though? Sakamoto Days is bringing women in their upper 30s and still showing they can be hot as fuck.
Are you thinking we can start talking about Sakamoto Days? Are you talking about
said her name?
I did.
Yeah, you were like, da-da-da's 39. I can't believe it.
July 9th, right? That's not Sakamoto Days. That's Orb.
Oh, I thought that it was the girl with the black hair in the outfit, because she has to be older too. Because she's
an adult woman. Isn't
she? Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Maybe she's only 27, and that's going to break my
heart. Yeah, I don't know that they said her age. But
with anime
really
age, you add 5 years.
But that's so
anyone
true.
In their 20s is basically middle-aged. We get to empathize with them still.
Yeah.
Like, so this is
that Jackie's talking about from Sakamoto Days. Her name escapes me right now. I just know that
her partner's name is Ogumin or Ogu.
Yeah, it's like Ogibo. It's like just her last name, but her partner, his name is Boiled, and she's totally into him.
She's down bad for the weirdos, so is what cute. She is.
I liked her.
I liked her a lot too, and I liked him as well, just because he has the sort of Yakuza hitman thing where he's like yells and seems to get angry all the time, but then it's like, you should respect yourself. So he's like yelling at people to be better or something, which is funny. There's a scene in this episode where she has pinned the blonde psychic guy. Mm-hmm. She's pinned him down and she's mocking him, but she's in a provocative pose while doing it. And he's like, hey, you're a nice girl. Should be sitting like that. And she's like,
I thought it was cute. I thought that it was like very innocent and sweet, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like she's a little thirsty for him, but she's not doing anything like over the top. Also, I love that he was the one thing I really love about Sakamoto Days is that it parodies and makes fun of a lot of things that we've seen in anime for a long time. Like the fact that he said hard boiled or boiled like all the time was just like cracking me up, because
it gives me real Gintama vibes. There's a whole hard-boiled detective dude in Gintama. Oh, and then we also have the red-haired Chinese girl that does martial arts and is wacky.
Quanti, that's funny, Yeah, but he was so over the top and silly. And also he had that, I don't know what you would call the term, but I think he's protective of her, you know what I mean? And he cares for her. So I don't know, I really like that. Also, I was shook. I like took a double take when it said that Sakamoto was 14 years old in that flashback.
I was looking to see if we had a screenshot and we don't. I like yelled. That was so dumb. He looks
not even accepting it. That's not real.
Yeah, because he looks completely the same as he does here. And they're like, he's 14. And Hardboiled had full goatee. And he's 15. I was like, no.
That's obviously a joke. It's a joke about how every anime protagonist is 14, even when they're very clearly men in their 20s. He's in his 20s in the same way that the main characters in Friday the 13th are teenagers.
You know what
I mean, like, okay.
And Chad is like,
sure,
they're saying Sakamoto's supposed to be in his 20s,
like, currently.
They said he's 27.
No,
he looks like he's 35. No. I thought he was
a grade school age child.
There is no universe in which that man is in his 20s. I am sorry.
I agree.
That's not true. That's not happening.
Honestly, though, James, this is your anime age system that you're talking about. Yeah. This is it in play right now.
Even if you told me he was 35, I'd be like, I don't know about that.
Sakamoto's seen a lot of life, right? So if he can look like that at 35, I'd be like, you know what? He's been through a lot.
Is he
reverse Keanu Reeves then? Is that the idea?
I think the silver hair throws it off a lot, because he's always had silver hair. That's just like part of his character design. Mm-hmm. But with his like current character design, you're like, oh, well, that's just a guy who went gray at maybe in his 40s or something early like that. But with that mustache too,
he's the voice of a 50-year-old man.
Yeah,
the whole thing is silly. But you know what? This is why I love it. This was my favorite by a landslide once this season got started. I'm watching Apothecary Diaries, Zenshu, I got caught up on. Tried out Ubel Blatt, wasn't really in love with it. And watching Solo Leveling, which I think we're all like of the same collective of that one. Though I think it's getting better this season.
I do think it is better so far this season than the first season, for sure. I put a message on Blue Sky where I was like, a lot of the writing is still really like juvenile. It's written so he's always the coolest guy in the room, but he doesn't know it. So he's also humble and all these other sorts of dorky fanfic teenager writing things. But it's got some of the best action animation of the season.
Can I tell you how every Solo Leveling episode goes down?
Yeah.
Basically, okay. So Jinwoo's like, I have a funny feeling something bad's going to happen. And then some A-tier guy's like, nothing bad's going to happen. I'm here. Everything's going to be fine. And then hits the fan.
Yeah.
And then Jinwoo comes and saves the day. And this last episode.
You forgot the part where they go, an E-rank like you couldn't possibly know anything, even though you're 8 inches taller than me and chiseled like a Greek god. You're obviously an idiot moron that knows nothing.
Literally.
Whereas literally every episode. Steve Buscemi of this anime is clearly the main character that's going to survive this.
Yeah.
Like, that is literally how every episode goes. Though I will admit, like Lindsay said, this last episode, I was like, okay. And I think it was because we finally got to see a little bit of that blonde girl who I've always been like, okay, I want to see more of her. And we've said this repeatedly, but there's no relationships. Jinwoo right. doesn't have connections with people. Right. And so I felt like we got introduced to a really cool squad and I have the inkling relationships are going to develop here. Also, Lindsay, you are totally that witch mage girl. I don't know if you saw with the snake thing.
Yeah.
If Lindsay's in a party, that's Lindsay.
Yeah.
And then of course she'd be like giving Jinwoo the side eye. She's like, you don't think we can see your stealth power? Because I was like, come on, there's these high level mages. Yeah. Somebody had to see Jinwoo was like slitting Achilles. You know what I mean? I was like, come on. And so then she said that and I was like, thank goodness, because I could not with none of these top level mages could even sniff it out. But then I was like, oh, the Lindsay witch figured it out. So
speaking of sniff it out, the blonde lady that you're talking about first meets Jinwoo and she's just like sniffing him. He's all in a white tank top because he's just working with the miners this time. He's not going to do any stuff. He's just mining, like he's in Minecraft and pushing the button really quick the whole time. And then she just comes and like sniffs his sweaty body. And I'm like, this is a fetish. This is what's happening.
Oh, and then she goes, he smells good. I was like, okay, well, you know,
but they explain it because like, oh, she usually can't stand the smell of hunters. She's got like a really sensitive sense of smell. That's why she walks around with a kerchief, you know, on her nose all the time. Cause all the hunters stink to her. But of course,
you don't need to give yourself insert best smell powers. Okay. You don't need that. Yeah. You can use axe like everybody else. That's allowed.
Oh my gosh. The fact that you brought up axe. Oh my god, didn't axe and Solo Leveling have a freaking campaign together?
I don't know that they had a campaign.
Is that when you brought that up, James? Or no?
They tweeted about it, though. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They just tweeted about that sniff scene. They're like, be like Jinwoo, axe body spray. And I was like, I don't know that anyone signed off on that, but they're axe social media. One of them is a
axe anymore. Please tell me people don't wear axe anymore. That was so a thing when, gosh, Lindsay, had to be like in our 20s. Remember, every guy
it was a thing in high school.
You wore
a polo shirt, you popped the collar, and you sprayed axe all over yourself. Ew.
Who needs to shower daily when you got axe body spray? Am I right? According to presumably many of the guys I went to school with.
Oh, God.
I think that was a thing when we were young, and I'm hoping that it's passed, but apparently not. Yeah. I'm surprised Axe is in business still, but apparently they are. So
I think they've been in favor of Old
Spice. Old Spice
is classic, though. Yeah. Old Spice has been around for...
I don't use the spray. That stuff gives me a headache, but Old Spice deodorant, this is good.
They've upped their game. Like, they have body wash and all this other kind of stuff now with smells like granite and things like that.
Okay, Pokemon J fan was like, I remember walking the halls in junior high and the hallway smelled of axe. I totally remember that too.
Yeah, it was the Abercrombie / Hollister official scent as far as
it was a time to be alive, folks.
It sure was.
Time to be alive.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were talking about Sakamoto days, but then I put us into a Solo Leveling tangent.
That's fine. Yeah.
What were y'all thoughts? I want to know.
On this particular episode, like, it was a lot of fun. My favorite gag is the mom and daughter when they go into the haunted house. It's definitely not a Silent Hill house, like Silent Hill theme.
Yeah.
And they think everything is just part of it. And then they finally get to the end and they're knocked unconscious because they're captured by them. But you can see that both the daughter and the mom are smiling the whole time that they're unconscious laying on the ground because they're just having such a good time. Like, they got knocked out by assassins and they're just like...
Yeah. They're fun. I like his wife. I like that the joke isn't that he's like hiding his past or his true nature or anything from him. She's just like, look, if you kill anyone, I'm going to divorce you. And he's like...
I know.
That's so real love right there.
Yeah, he's not. Like, yeah.
I love the episode where she like is like, fine, then it's over. And then she like jumps over the thing and he just like grabs her. And she was like, that was a lot farther than I thought. I don't know, the show cracks me up. Yeah. You know, Dustin likes anime, but he really is very particular about what he likes. Mm-hmm. And so he was into Sakamoto Days. And then he was just like, I just don't know how long I can enjoy this like one trick pony of it just being antics every week. I was like, what? Because I love it so much. But then I was like, oh, I get that's kind of what happened to me with Spy Family.
Yeah.
Where I loved Yura, I loved Lloyd, obviously loved Anya. But then it just became very just cute. And like each episode was cute. And don't get me wrong, the action is great in Spy Family and the action Sakamoto Days is awesome. But I also need like there to be some sort of like tension and something on the line. And I know that Spy Family has the tension of them like, figuring each other out, but it just got old for me. I definitely am not caught up
with
Spy Family.
I don't know that I finished the most recent season for like the same reason. I just kind of got... Is this similar to Sakamoto Days? And this is what I said earlier. It's because it's not appointment viewing. So it's very easy to be like, this will be entertaining when I watch it, but it's not like everyone's going to be talking about the latest plot development on social media. So I got to get on it. And then the episodes start to build up and then you just never go back and watch it.
Or you save it for your homesick with like flu. And you
I don't get sick enough to catch up on things.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is a problem. Maybe.
That's a good thing. You're so lucky.
It is. I'm like, it is. I don't get sick very often, knock on
wood. Dude, I got taken out recently.
Did you catch that flu that's been going around? Because
I don't
like my brother
and
his whole family got wiped by influenza A. Yeah, it was.
I was out for a week. Yeah, I should have probably gotten tested, but I couldn't even leave my house. So I was just like, I'm just going to lay here and just get over it. So it probably was. But yeah, that absolutely sucked. But you know what? I did catch up on
what?
Sorry, that was the weirdest segue. Is it okay if we could talk about Zenshu, or did you guys want to talk about
Zenshu? We could talk about Zenshu all day because okay. I adore every single thing about this show.
So I watched the first episode and was like, fun. But then I felt like it was Sakamoto Days-ish, where I don't think I need to watch this all and kind of just put it on the back burner. But then I caught up on it. And dude, why aren't more people talking about Zenshu? This is a very good show and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
The main character is literally Lindsay. She reminds me of you and me. And it's, I don't know who the writer is or the like creator, but it's got to be a woman. And she's
It's both written and directed by a woman. Yes.
And you can tell because...
you can tell.
She's one of the best female protagonists we've had in a really long time.
100% agree. Like, it's like her calling out the blonde guy when he's like, oh, but you're a woman. And she just like totally shuts him down.
Yeah.
And I just love her commentary and I love her bickering with the annoying unicorn. It's just like they're the trio of the blonde guy, the unicorn, and this girl are comedic gold.
Are you watching the sub or the dub?
I'm actually watching the dub. The
dub is hilarious, isn't it? It's so funny.
I was going to ask you all who the voice actor was for the girl because she is really funny.
She's like, great.
And she's very colloquial. There was one episode where she was like, defo, not what I wanted. Or I don't remember. Yeah. It was something with the word defo.
Well, even in this one, she's like, how did I get this peak? And it's like,
her feet were hurt and she's like, the dogs are hurt. I'm so happy that they're just like... being silly.
Well, and she doesn't. I think what I like about her is that she can be really stupid.
Yeah,
but she's not stupid in the way that you usually get like a dumb anime comedy girl.
Yeah,
usually when like a female lead in a comedy is dumb, but in a funny way, like on purpose, it's very infantilizing.
They're
ditzy and they don't know anything that's going on, and they're super out there. And she's dumb in the way that, like, she reminds me of, like, Nick Miller from New Girl, where she's good at her really specific thing, but in almost every other case, she's a weird, awkward... I mean, even the unicorn calls her a purple gremlin creature.
Yeah.
And
it's gremlin so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The unicorn is terrible. I was literally like, are you worse than Mineta? I'm not sure if you're worse than Mineta.
Can you look at James's little subtitle right now first?
We stand our evil unicorn prince. He's so terrible.
He is like, when the lady's always
like, you want to ride? I was like, you're despicable. I love that.
Everyone's in on the fact that he's despicable, though. He never gets to trick anyone.
That's what I mean. Like, everybody just knows you're so dumb. Nobody gives him a chance. Also, the green-haired girl when the blue pop idol guy comes. So y'all, Dustin hasn't caught up on Zenshu, right? So I'm catching up, and he walks in, and it's a scene where they're having a singing duet. Yes, and they're like dancing in the sky. Yeah.
The Disney scene. Like,
and Dustin goes, "This might be one of the worst anime you've ever shown me." And I'm like, "How dare leave? I don't have any tolerance for you insulting this beautiful scene."
When that scene happened, I literally had to pause it because I was just clapping and going, "Yes!"
Oh my god, it was so amazing, and that's why it's definitely written for our generation.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Even the Sailor Moon transformation, whenever her little, what is it called? Her little...
Her pegboard.
Pegboard, yeah. I asked James the same question last week. I was like, what is
it called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it attaches to the desk and then you can slide the papers in it and then you can flip them like this while it holds it.
Mm-hmm. So okay,
it's like, a temporary binder.
Yeah. Oh, that episode got me. Then I was sad that he wasn't going to be around anymore, but then at least she had something to be passionate
about.
She's
going to stan him for literally
all
of it. It was so cute. He never dies.
Also, the cat guy, and then that girl was so inspired by him, and so she stopped being like the klutzy damsel in distress.
No, she's jacked as hell.
She's so jacked.
I loved it, though, because she's finally being herself and what she wants to be. Oh my god, I love this. Was this the last episode, or this was two episodes?
Most recent.
Oh, was this the most recent? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I love this. It's so nice because Zenshu is giving them the opportunity to be what they really want to be. And it's a beautiful story. You know,
now she takes care of orphans. Mm-hmm. That's like her.
Like any cat themed wrestler is legally obligated to do.
Yes.
And I love that even like Yunio even has that line where he's like, "I preferred the dainty destiny." She's like, "Too bad."
Yeah, that part was great. She's like, "Yep, sucks for you." I loved it.
Yeah, I watched the Japanese language version, and the line was something like, "Well, I like myself now."
I watched the sub for the first episode, and I really like the voices. And I'm not gonna lie, I do think the dub is really good, but there are moments where I'm like, I just feel like this would hit a little different with the sub. You know what I mean? But it's just easier to consume with the dub, so I like that the dub is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. That was one that I was able to catch up on. And I just don't know why more people aren't talking about it. I don't hear anyone talking about it. And it's very good.
What do you guys feel about his growing crush on Natsuko?
It's adorable because he is a huge, pathetic dork.
He is.
I'm a grown man. I'm so mature and grown up.
Yeah, it's like, sure you are. Jackie was talking about earlier that I related to as far as... unhealthy work habits that Natsuko has, because that's like the focus kind of this episode. It's the first time her animation stuff doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And we see her blatantly telling, she's getting all the praise, and that motivates her, and then it inflates her ego to the point where she doesn't think she needs anyone's help, which is the same issue that she was having while she was working as a director of anime in the real world. And so when there's the part where she's like, "No, I'll just do it. It'll get done faster." It was like, "Oh, fuck."
We see exactly how she
now about me.
Yeah, I told she was a genius when she was 16, and that ruined her life.
Yep.
I agree with you, Lindsay. You know, I'm ADHD, and I think that my brain moves so fast. And I try to give people direction. I'm like, just do it yourself. I hate giving direction to people because there's just something in my brain that's like, you can speed through it fast because that's just the way you operate. You know what I mean?
Just give it to me. Don't let me explain.
You should try being a teacher with ADHD because that is a struggle. A lot of times I'm just
bad at giving directions.
How do you not get this? Just do the thing I told you to do.
That is literally me. I'm like, okay, well, just do it. And then I'm like, God, I gotta map out everything for everybody. I know it's so rude and it's so annoying because nobody's a mind reader, Jackie. But that's why I think I really have that mentality of like, I'm just going to do it myself because I don't want to explain things to people. But that got me really interested because I'm like, okay, well, how is she going to overcome this? And first of all, the samurai guy was so cool. Sorry, major spoilers, though y'all know we're going into spoilers. But then he got unalived and then it ended on that. So now I'm like, what does this mean?
I think she's going to pass out and the other folks are going to have to rescue her. And like,
including her sexy dragon friend.
Yes, we will talk about sexy dragon.
He's so hot. Yeah, she reminds me of the gargoyle who had the same face. Do you guys remember the gargoyle?
I do remember gargoyles, yeah.
The orange one with mm-hmm. the beak face yeah. with the white hair was always mm-hmm. the hottest one. He had a funny personality.
He was yeah. the funny one.
Yeah, he was the funny one. Yeah. But this guy was funny too. I wonder if they were, I'm sure they weren't, but I was like, oh, he reminds me of that gargoyle's character.
But yeah, I think as far as the ending goes, like, Natsuko's going to have to be rescued. And they're not, the other folks are heroes in their own right too, like in their world. They're supposed to be highly capable heroes, and she already thinks that she can just do everything better than them because she's clinched the deal so many times. And like when she drew the samurai was very cool, but my first thought was like, you literally have a swordsman here already though. Yeah. She drew a samurai to like cut up a bunch of eggs. You didn't actually need that guy to do that specific action because you already have a sword. The blonde guy's name is escaping me right now and I'm trying to
avoid or something.
It's Luke.
Okay, thank you. I couldn't think of it either.
You just drew someone to take Luke's job when you already had Luke, instead of letting Luke do it and then waiting to see what happens and maybe drawing something else that could have actually helped. Because
it's also maybe a good analogy for the direct, like the team members in like a production that slowed the pipeline down because they got to get that Sakuga out for that one cut. And it's like, bro, it's just a walking scene. We do not need that to be animated on ones. We can just get it out the door. This episode is due in 2 days. And it's like, no, this is my masterpiece.
You know what? Talking about the show, the animation is so good. Like, I'm just like,
and both it's the funny parts and the action parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very and impressive, right?
Very extremely impressive. And I love the commentary on animating stuff. Like she'll be like, I was either this episode or a recent one. Do you know how long this is? 3 days of drawing for this 8-second scene or something. And it's like very cool to get the insight into that world. You know what I mean? Cause you're like, dang, yeah, that's probably, we just don't think about that stuff as consumers. So it's like interesting to get that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, yeah. I love that. It has a bit of like a trigger vibe to it, in the way that it's willing to play around a little bit more with kind of the more Western animation principles, like squash and stretch and things like that.
Yeah.
Like even with every scene he's in, he's deforming and he's being a little more slapstick. And I think we really get to see the animators actually play around and have fun rather than worry about getting everything perfect, which is good for this show.
What is our community watching right now? What, like when we do the polls, is Zenshu high or no?
It was. On ANN, it was. It was one of the most in demand for daily streaming reviews.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not seeing it on TikTok or anything, but it's definitely,
I think it's,
you know, Solo Leveling's the big one.
A little more too.
Yeah, I'm seeing it on Blue Sky all the time.
Yeah.
Are you? I'm like, I need to get on Blue Sky.
It's got the juice, Jackie.
Blue got the juice. Juice. And the sauce.
Too many platforms, dude. I can't. It's just too much.
It's just abandoned Twitter.
But this one's not being run by a man that's actively ruining the country.
I don't even want to start. I was hearing some headlines today and I was
like, the sad part is you can't even specify which platform I'm talking about at this point because it's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I know it is so bad.
Yeah.
On a positive note, Zenshu's an amazing anime.
It is. And I hadn't yet shown the picture of Justice.
He's beautiful. The dragon. This isn't a good angle of him though. I'm not going to lie. His side profile.
Every angle's
fantastic.
A good angle check.
No, he's definitely got, the guy's got an 8-pack. He's got a good build.
Yeah.
It's first, we're showing his big old nose, you know? He's got great hair. He's got good eyes.
You're the one that was just talking about the cute beak on the gargoyle.
But it's this one's accentuating the beak. I'm just saying, like, you got to know your angles.
Yeah.
Lindsay, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I tried to engage in that while I was getting my picture taken at the DMV today.
Yes.
Won't know if I succeeded or not for 2 weeks. I'll get it in the mail and be like, well, yeah. So,
dude, DMV is the worst because you're like, can I just see it?
Actually, how about I take the picture with my phone and then I just give it to you and then you put it on the card? How about,
dude?
I got these glamour shots done. I paid a pretty penny. Just use one of these.
Actually true. For me, I've done that. And it's like, these cost a lot of money. So can we just put it on my ID? I mean,
you can tell it's me. The lighting was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Submitting the glamour shots is hilarious. Sorry, can we just use this?
I did glamour shots of me as a mermaid, so I could just be a mermaid on my ID. Like, can we do that?
So absurd, but great.
They get a little symbol on the ID that's like fish legs, but with a line through it, just so they know that you're not physically a mermaid.
I'm not physically a mermaid.
Okay, so I have only watched one episode of Orb, but there's apparently a hot lady who's around my age. So I want you all to convince me why I should watch it.
Did we ever actually say she's hot?
I don't know.
She's a solid 1300s Poland 7.
Hold on. Wait, what? So does she look like, is she?
Whoops.
I mean, she's doing her best, all right?
She's not Ronco, but she's not like Jet.
No.
Okay, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't screw her too bad here. She's definitely no Ronco, though.
But
she's
got the Mike Tyson thing going on a little bit with her cat tooth, unfortunately.
I think that's just the... So what James and I were talking about before is that if you watch the episode, she's got, like, hella crow's feet. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I mean, that's fine. We get those, you know?
Yeah, I do.
And then they were like, yeah, she's 39, and I was like, so what this is like my future is what you're saying. She's also missing a tooth, but I mean, I'm sure dental care during this.
She probably eats nothing but bread and butter most of the time. Let's be real though.
Okay, let's be honest. Definitely not Jed, but they're doing her a little dirty here. It's true. But also, I don't know. We talk about this all the time. Millennials are aging different. I don't know what we're doing. We're just more mindful of health stuff. So maybe. Oh, yeah. She looks haggard there. Why'd they do her like that?
It's also, well, I mean, she's
living in the worst time to be alive.
Yeah, that's true too.
She's kind of on the run from the church. So Jackie has not watched Orb. So Jackie, this is going to be like a speed run to catch you up on this. So Orb.
Yeah.
You've watched the first episode. I won't get into huge, big spoilers. Let's just say the protagonist of Orb changes several times for various reasons.
It's a totally different person point of view.
Skip ahead in time without telling you exactly what happens. But the protagonist you met in episode one is no longer the protagonist after episode three.
Did he die?
If you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you. He's dead. That 12-year-old is dead.
What happened to him?
He was studying heliocentrism and the Inquisition found out. And so they were going to execute him. But instead he said, F you. And he actually drank poison and killed himself.
Yep.
After hiding all the like research and stuff so that someone else could find it.
What happened to the old dude?
Oh, he sticks also around. Dead. Wait, which old dude?
Of course that guy sticks around. That guy is like,
the guy that showed him the heliocentrism?
Yeah. And he was dead.
He died too?
The jailed guy?
Yeah.
He was jailed and then he got let out?
Yeah. Very dead.
The person who sticks around is the Inquisitor. And he's going to come up in what James and I are about to talk about because he continues on through most of the show.
Okay. Question, is there a dub for this?
No.
Damn it. Because I was like, I'll catch up on it tonight because then I can like work and then have it on the background.
Well, there are 20 episodes. I don't know about tonight.
We're on episode.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's sad. Because so it was very good. I think that's the reason why I kind of fell off. It was just because, frankly, it's just you have to really be selective about the subs you're watching because you got to sit and consume it. You know what I mean? In a different way. But anyway, sorry. Continue. It sounds amazing.
We should get Jackie to do preview guide next season just to...
Why would you do that to her?
I'm never reviewing anything again because Lindsay would give me the shittiest show. She gave me Kingdom of Ruin.
I didn't think it was gonna be bad.
But you know what? I'm not mad about it because I knew there's so many people who are much more established than me. So obviously, like the newer people have to take the crappy anime.
I'm reviewing Gohan's this season, okay?
And we've all had our bad ones, but I was like, I think I did Kingdom of Ruin, and then I did the girl with the feet. Remember all the guys were licking her feet, and I was like, what am I on?
But
and
you also got to do the healer one that wasn't bad.
Magic. Yeah. And you know what? I actually really liked that one, but like what hurt was that the animation was so bad in that one that you were just like, dude, what is this industry that like some people just get lucky and get like a really good, that would be a really good article for us to do because it's like, there's so many stories that are good, but then if you just don't get, I don't know.
Can we do like an
undercover piece where someone like gets hired at Gohan's to try to figure out what the hell is
get
going
anyone
on.
Hired at Gohan's? I don't even know where their studio is. No, but I'm going
to talk to Richard. We need him to get hired.
That's the piece.
Undercover.
Richard, can't draw? How are we going to get Richard,
is it Cyrano de Bergerac? We'll get someone to stick their hands through my sleeves.
Oh my god!
In like a big overcoat.
Can I tell you, we go to Japan, mm-hmm. and Dustin and I, Lindsay had like a lot of assignments, so sometimes it would just be Richard, Dustin, and I. It was honestly, I'm not gonna lie, the food in Japan is absurd.
Like, it's really good.
I don't know what it's good. It's cheap. And it just tastes like nothing I've ever tasted. Like the bakery. Because
when you live
there,
on a tiny island and you serve someone bad food, there's only so many houses they have to check before they find where you live. So you cannot risk.
It's a pride
pissing off your neighbors that much. You really can't.
Yeah. I will say that when I was there last year, I got made fun of a little bit for doing this, but my husband and I love Indian food. Indian food is like pretty high up there on like favorite cuisine.
Yeah.
And so we found an Indian place while we were in Japan. We were just walking around and there was one there. And it was, I had the best naan that I have ever had in that Indian food. I have a picture of it somewhere because they served the dish set, but the naan was like 2 feet across. It was like just a long thing where it looked like they had taken it out of an oven on a, and
that
yeah,
sounds so good. I'm
the
so
food
jealous.
Was really, really good.
I'm
and everyone
so
was
jealous.
Super nice. And they had like posters of Indian beer and stuff in there, and it felt really. It was just a little hole.
Lindsay,
in the wall.
That would be another good idea for you and your mom to do is to show like some of the people love anime food, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually funny because in Zenshi, remember, she's always talking about like how she's like, I'm gonna eat this anime food while I'm here. Remember,
yeah.
right? But it would be cool just to get a bunch of different video of all the food there. Maybe try out some cool restaurants. Cause I feel like we did that, but not really, you know what I mean? Like we were so rushed the last time. So maybe
counterpoint. If you can get your mom hired at Gohan's, I am certain that she could get us the inside scoop that we've been looking for. She can tell us what they do there and why it is the way it is.
I don't.
Okay.
My mother doesn't speak a lick of Japanese.
That's
so.
Yeah. That's not going to matter. Whatever.
All right. So back to Orb.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. To talk about the current protagonist, Jackie, is a Romani girl named Draka. And
okay.
What she did is she got a hold of a book which had been copied off tattoos on a bunch of unhoused people's heads. I'm not going to re-explain that. But anyway, she got a hold of the book of heliocentrism that one of the previous protagonists wrote and then burned it after reading it so that they would have to take her and she could possibly make money by writing the only copy of the book. I like Draka, but I was mad at her during most of this episode because she's mostly motivated by money. And when she finally had to talk to Yolenta about, yeah, I burned the book that your friend wrote, because it was convenient for me to do so and I thought I could make money off of it. I was pissed the entire time she was explaining it. And she never apologizes at any point, even after Yolenta explains to her, this isn't about money for me. This is the remnant of
Draka.
My friend.
Who's Draka?
Draka is the... Oh, let me see if I have a picture.
We should.
I'm like, I need visuals. I don't know about y'all, but like when people are telling me, oh, this person did this, I'm like, who? I need to see a face.
This is Draka. It's not a great picture of her, but that's Draka. And then
were they companions?
Draka, this is the first time Draka's ever met Yolenta, but Yolenta knew the previous protagonist who wrote the book, right? That was then hidden because the book explains heliocentrism and the church is still like, everything revolves around Earth, and so it's illegal to talk about or spread knowledge of heliocentrism. But that's exactly what Yolenta and her band are gonna do. They've gotten hold of new technology that will allow them to more easily print books because everything was written by hand up until this point. So they're planning to mass produce copies of this book and just distribute it as a way to both spread the truth of science, but also they're interested in overthrowing the church orthodoxy, which they see as a controlling force of not good, which it is in this current timeline.
By the way, random note, one of the characters in this show has a mustache very similar to Dustin's.
Oh, yes, that's true. We don't have a picture of him.
Oh, yeah, that's Schmidt.
Is
he good or bad?
He kills people, but he's good.
He
also thinks the church is corrupt and is basically using the message of God to control people, and that really God is just the natural force of nature. And so he's a naturalist. He just believes that you can be in touch with and see God via the natural beauty and order of the earth, and that the church itself has corrupted that in order to control people.
So okay,
so he kills people, mostly church people.
Okay, got it. Man, I really want to watch this. It's really complex.
It's like a historical science. Yeah,
but it sounds like really intense and good. It's 20 episodes. Because it started it was before winter, right?
Right. It started in October.
And so it was fall. Okay.
And I think it'll probably run until March.
This is another one I hear nobody talking about.
Yeah.
Five, right.
Which is sad. I'm like, this sounds, I'll be honest, the first episode was like really good. Like I was like.
It's popular on ANN too. It was another one where people got to vote twice for it. Like we did the first half after it made it in, and then our readers got to vote whether they wanted the reviews to continue. And it was actually really high up there.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this is a weird season where a lot of people are not talking about this great anime, but I don't know, maybe they're all very atypical. I think Solo Leveling is the shonen of the season, right? But Orb sounds like Vinland Saga, like really dark.
That's what I initially compared it to. It's definitely got, if you liked Vinland Saga, you will probably like, especially the second season. It's more like the second season of Vinland Saga.
Oh my God.
You'll probably like this. It's not always animated nearly as well. James has spent much time talking about how it is dark all the time.
You can't see a damn thing. Can't see a damn thing. It's really frustrating.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. You know what, though? And this is a very good debate. And I feel like we've had this debate before. But we'll bring it up again. I was watching Berserk, the one from the 90s. The good one. Oh my God. Oh, so it was funny because at first I was like, let's watch it on Crunchyroll. And Dustin was watching the new one. And I just was like, what the fuck is it? Sorry, I can only say the F word. We got my second strike. I'm so sorry, Lindsay. But I was like, what is this? You know? And then I was like, this is not it. You're not getting introduced to Berserk like this, right?
Yeah.
So then I pulled out the DVDs. We literally got on his PlayStation. You know how the old school DVDs were? It looked like a terrible 2000s collage put together.
There's a lot of still shots in Berserk.
Still shots, and then you would yellow highlighter over when you would go to play this or go to the next chapter right? So we watched it and he was just enraptured, and I love rewatching it. So I was like, God, it was so good. And then the animation is obviously super simplistic for back then, but it's like the story still hits so well. And it's literally like just watercolor kind of drawings. It's like the characters were detailed, and then the backgrounds are all just like watercolors. I don't want to say messy because they're beautiful, but it's like you can just tell they're, if that happened now, like we would be making fun of it. But it was like so artistic in its own way. And then we finished the finale, and so for the heck of it, let's watch the Crunchyroll finale, right? Because it's the same. I don't remember when that one came out. It's like 10 years ago now or something. I don't remember, but anyway, it's more recent, right?
2016.
So we watched it.
Yeah.
And it had, was it 2016? Yeah. So then it had the CG, and also like the scene with Casca and Griffith was way more graphic. And I think that whole scene was so graphic. And so it was like, when I watched the 90s version, it left a lot to the imagination, and it was horrific because you're just like, how is this happening to her, and why is he doing that, and all this stuff. And it was just so bad watching it with the detailed animation, and it just made me think a lot about just animation in general. Sometimes a story doesn't need to be that heavily done, but then also I watched like the wrong way to use healing magic.
It needed
to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
James and I were talking about that maybe last week or so, about how, so you have the top tier productions where people have the amazing action animation and stuff, can't always, and Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 is usually the example for that. That one ended up having issues, but people look at those MAPPA productions and they see like top tier work, looks amazing, slick, flashy, you know, everything's like da 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 da, keeps you really engaged. And most anime can't be produced under at that level. Yes. Reasonably. Like the studios aren't set up for it. The crunch, the how packed schedules are and everything. You just can't create everything at that level. And I think that maybe a lot of us who've been watching anime for a long time, we're used to things sometimes being a little jank. It's okay if it's jank because the writing is really good. You can get past that, some of the shortcomings visually, as long as everyone's body parts are attached and they still look like themselves, but maybe they have the, what are those postcard, James, you're going to know what I'm talking about. It was popularized, the Dezaki postcards. He popularized that sort of shortcut for animation.
Oh, the super saturated.
It usually is wistful.
The Ashita Joe thing.
Yes, like, those sorts of things where it's not animated, but it's like just an emotional still shot.
Yeah.
You could do artistic things like that to make up for a lack of super fluid, intense animation all the time.
I was even thinking that with Sakamoto Days. Yeah. Not that it's bad by any means, but it's definitely not like a top tier production.
Sure,
Its action moments are pretty solid, and then whenever it's just dialogue or antics, there's a lot of shots that kind of feel like not motion comic, but you can tell it's just like the manga panel being like strung together with some pretty basic transitions.
Yeah.
The animation's good, but it's not like, again, it's not Jujutsu Kaisen. It's not Dan to Dan. It's not anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think that it's hard for people that don't watch as much anime as we do to get into the mindset that it's all right for a show to just be like B level.
Yeah. Right.
Or even like a C plus, where this animation's fine. I was watching earlier before the podcast, I was watching a bit of a Dot Hack Sign.
Oh, okay. That's old. Yeah.
You know what? Does this look great? No, but it's getting the job done. It's telling the story, and I can fill in some of the gaps with my
imagination. And its soundtrack is freaking legit. The Dot Hack anime
has
one of the best soundtracks of all time. I will die on that hill. I had all of that downloaded on, and I played it on Winamp all the time.
People like to give that show crap for being very talky and slow, which it is, but it's the vibes are just impeccable.
It's way good. I used to burn CDs quite a lot in junior high, high school, and I always had
Watched Dot Hack. I'm trying to remember. Let me Google.
I could recognize the characters if I saw them. To be honest, I don't even think I watched all the anime. I think I just listened to the soundtrack.
Yeah,
that one.
I mostly recognize it because of adverts on Adult Swim, maybe.
Yeah, totally. I see this.
I played some of the video game as well. Hmm. Another anime that I did watch all of that had a killer soundtrack, similar vibes, was Noir.
Oh my God, Noir! Oh,
Jackie, like, dies.
Noir anymore. I'm sorry.
That soundtrack is so good, so good. Everyone, go listen to it right now. Also, we are out of time. We're over.
Oh
so
my God. Yeah.
The only thing we'll
talk about noir next time.
I want to close out on as far as the orb talk is that Novak is back, drunk, and thinks his daughter's still dead. His daughter's Yolenta Jackie. She's not dead. But he has thought she's dead for 20 years at this point. Well, she's 39 and she died at like age 14.
That's, right. Okay. So 25. Yeah. 25.
Yeah. So he's
sad.
He's getting back on the Inquisitor saddle to track down the Heretic Liberation Front, which I'm sure he'll discover is run by his daughter. So waiting for that reunite moment, I think is going to be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I need to watch Orb. By the way, the comments were like, I love James and Lindsay trying to explain 16 episodes in like 2 minutes. And I was like, yeah, me too. I love it. Cause it was just,
we skipped over much stuff. We didn't even tell you about Badeni and his eye patch and him doing a barrel roll through a window, which is one of the most unintentionally funny moments of this entire
movie. Or the guy who accidentally impaled himself on his own sword.
That also happened. Yeah. Whoops. Yeah. And just.
Oh my gosh. I need to watch this. I wish it was dubbed. How sad.
Yeah. I think it's a little too niche that Netflix hasn't dubbed it. All right, everybody. Jackie, so great to have you back.
I know. And I miss you guys.
We'll keep checking in with you to see if you can come back more consistently next week and stuff. So
yeah,
for sure. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Tuesday, 6 p.m. 6:15 p.m. Pacific, 9:15 Eastern. And make sure to leave in the comments what you want to see from Japan. I'll be reading them. Or send me an email, lindsay@animenewsnetwork.com, and I will read it. And maybe I'll reply to you, and maybe we'll become pen pals or something. You know, anything can happen on the internet. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The ANN After Show is an official podcast of Anime News Network. You can hang out with us live on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and Twitter. Listen to our podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The ANN After Show is hosted by Lindsay Loveridge and James Beckett and is produced by Lindsay Loveridge.